I'm sure the NHL has ended Asian hate now. It was very effective.
The Asian on Asian crime in this podcast, which is Vanessa bullying Sam.
Although Sam's been pushing back lately, though.
Vanessa's going to stop bullying me because the NHL said stop Asian hate.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't give a fish's tits.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. Which, I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
Hello and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm Sam and I'm joined this week by Mal and Vanessa. We don't have Georgia or Danny with us this week. We have a lot to cover and we'll see how it goes. We will start with highs and lows. My high this week was we've started getting a lot of photos sent to the podcast account of people in their Broadcast merch. And we love seeing that. So keep sending that to us. My other high is like an anticipatory high. We've got our live stream coming up on Monday for International Women's Day. And we are very excited to hang out with all of you guys. Lows. There were a lot of potential lows this week as usual. But I think my personal favorite low this week was Alain Vigneault referring to a line with cancer survivor Oscar Lindblom as the COVID line. And certain Philly media being like, oh, it's tongue in cheek. It's not a big deal. It's like, it's not funny. We're in like month 1,010 of this pandemic. And it's not funny to joke about your cancer surviving player who you kind of trotted out at every PR opportunity to joke about him being exposed to COVID. It's just not funny. So that was my low. But as usual, hit like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, leave us reviews, recommend us to your friends.
Lots of fun hockey going on. Lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. Let's do that hockey. Come on.
Hilariously enough, when Georgia originally told us she couldn't make it, Mal was like, do we actually have to watch sports this week then?
Because she said, do we have to watch hockey this week? I was like, ooh. Danny or George aren't here to pick up the slack. Notoriously, the rest of us are unwilling to consistently watch Canucks hockey. Vanessa actually is probably the person who watches the most of it, but that's just because she has those posts to get off.
Actually, this season I have not been watching very much because just I have the dog and I have other priorities now, but it's on. I'm just not actively watching.
So our sports update is kicking off with Mal, Vanessa, and me talking about how we are in fact not watching the Canucks this season unless we are being forced to.
I mean, pretty much every single time, and I think that I've maybe become better about like going to bed like earlier in general. So maybe it is like a new like responsibility situation, but I've really gotten to the point if they are playing bad in the first, I am like, it's bedtime, actually. It's time to go to bed. Which I think is good for me, just like emotionally even.
I've watched a handful of games. I did not watch either game against the Jets. But yeah, I'm not choosing to go to bed earlier. I'm just choosing to read romance novels if they start to suck.
And I'm not against bad teams. Like, I have watched up to, like, I watched extra innings of Royals baseball. And I've stayed until, like, the 13th inning for a game that they have lost. So, I'm not, like, a I don't have anything against bandwagoning. I think that if a team sucks, you should leave. But it's genuinely just, I have better things to do. And sometimes those better things are sleeping.
Yeah, I can't really explain it. Like, I think I've tweeted this before last season. I watched the Canucks play live, and I think they were losing 7-2 to Chicago, and I refused to leave. Like, I'm the person who, if I'm there live, I will not leave, no matter how badly they're playing.
Oh, like, yeah, I never leave, like, an actual live game early.
Yeah. But for some reason, I can't, like, this is the first season where I just... It's not even, like, that I don't want to watch them. I just don't care enough to.
I do think that actually the lack of people in the arena does make it easier to check out. Like, I think I don't... It's not like I ever felt bad about leaving or whatever, but, you know, it does feel a lot more inconsequential, I guess, of being like, oh, whatever, this game isn't even real, whatever, I don't care. So this entire season sounds fake, but doesn't mean they're not bad and they should feel bad about being bad, but it also doesn't matter.
The Canucks are now still below .400 in points percentage. I think they're still third last. I think they've got one or two more wins than the Detroit Red Wings. And if you're wondering, that's not good. But they hit the midway mark of the season this weekend. And so on Monday on the live stream, we will be doing our mid-season report card live. So you have that to look forward to.
I really have that to look forward to because Georgia is a TA. So she's really good at midterm grading.
Moving on from bad to worse, despite the fact that the Buffalo Sabres actually have a better points percentage than the Canucks, they are in fact more of a tire fire than the Canucks. And that continues. This last week, they have continued to either healthy scratch Jeff Skinner, who has a $9 million contract, or play him on the fourth line, like under 5 minutes. And then there was the whole Ralph Krueger telling the media that Jack Eichel was hurt during warm-up, and then Eichel coming out and being like, no, I wasn't. I was injured earlier than that. Basically, Buffalo is a shit show and has been, and there's no end in sight.
I feel bad because there are expansion siblings. So, and also, I do have like a soft spot for Jack Eichel. And that man is suffering even more than Connor McDavid.
McDavid is thriving right now.
He had no points tonight.
Yeah.
But overall, he's thriving.
He's thriving compared to Eichel. They're like entire, like, just... I can't even, like, start to explain about, like, the, yeah, tire fire of generational talents sent to suffer in barren wastelands. But Taylor Hall was like, I'm going to, like, get my stock up and go play with Jack Eichel. I don't even think he's been on his line. Tyson Barron, who's arguably a lot worse, did the same bet to go be on the power play with McDavid, and that's working out a lot better for him. I don't know. I just feel very bad for Buffalo in general. But I feel bad for them in, like, the sense that I feel bad for their fans almost. Because, once again, their ownership is, like, a bunch of horrible people. So.
Do you think that Aaron Basil's interior decorating skills are better or worse than Lauren Kyle ones?
Oh, absolutely better. Absolutely better.
Yeah, that's my thought, too. I want to see what Jack Eichel's house looks like. I need the comparison.
It's probably like all Red Sox themed. And like Dunkin' Donuts themed. That's just what I assume everyone from Boston likes. I don't really know.
In that vein, there was a suggestion from Kevin Paul Dewant of the Boston Globe that the Canucks would be an interesting trade partner for the Buffalo Sabres for Jack Eichel because they have Petey and Quinn Hughes.
I understand, like, you have, like, airtime to fill and, like, a certain amount of words that you have due. But what the fuck are hockey writers ever talking about? Like, specifically, they have been on one about Eichel trades. Like, it seems like that is their favorite thing to just, like, churn out. But
it does seem like it's a matter of time, though. Like, it will. I think it will happen.
I don't, but.
I actually don't either. Who, like, you'd have to give up so much to get him. Like, I don't even see the point.
But he's really it's good. Not worth it because, one, the Sabres are not, like, willing to. I don't think they're willing to get any worse. Yeah, you'd have to give up, like, a line and a half for him. So there's no reason. Because what is he making also? Like,
10
million?
Yeah.
11 million? I don't know his cap it is. But
he's got it. He's going to ask for a trade. You don't think he will?
I don't think he will. Because also he is the captain, GM, coach, et cetera. And I think that he is willing to make the Sabres better on sheer will.
I hope so, because I feel like he sometimes can come across as like an arrogant person sometimes.
Okay, once again, he is from Boston.
Yeah. Prove me wrong, Jack Eichel.
What? Why are you wanting her to prove him wrong? For him
stick
to be
with,
nice?
Stick with it.
Oh.
I feel like it'd be really depressing to play for the Sabres.
Yeah.
Although I feel like it's probably also really depressing to play for the Canucks.
But at least you're in Vancouver.
Buffalo's not that bad. Buffalo's like actually like relatively nice.
My mom went to school in Buffalo and it was like minus 40 in the winters.
Okay.
There's it barely dips that are below also zero cold. Here.
Oh, okay. Also, speaking of the Sabres, Dylan Cousins got in a fight, which I only know because one of my friends tweeted they got hands in UConn, which is what made me think of it because you were talking about minus 40. Yeah, he did fight a Ranger.
The Rangers are also terrible. I don't think there's a single good team in the NHL this year. I feel like every team I think of is not good.
Not even your beloved Vegas Golden Knights.
They're probably good.
Also, the Avs, like, might be good, but they definitely did lose embarrassingly, I feel like, recently.
To the Sharks. 6-2 yes. To the Sharks.
Yes.
And speaking of the Sharks almost beat the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, barely. I saw that!
Lost. And the highlight of that game was Jordan Binnington having a complete meltdown and fake punching three different San Jose Sharks and just totally losing it. I think that was
I don't want to like support Binnington, but like I do genuinely think that's very funny and it should continue.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I also like the thing is that I want to take a position that is not supporting Jordan Binnington and also not supporting like all those weirdos who are like, he's just showing emotion. And all of that, I just think it's stupid. And that's why it should continue. Because also, it's objectively embarrassing for him.
It was so. My entire Twitter timeline was people making fun of Jordan Binnington, except for like a handful of hockey writers who were like, this is why he's a Stanley Cup winner, because he's got some fight. It's like,
he's a Stanley Cup winner because he got pulled against San Jose Sharks.
I think his save percentage was like 0.785 or something that night. Like, sorry, throwing a temper tantrum after you had a shitty performance does not make you a winner. It just makes no sense. But great hockey analysis team.
I can talk about how all of the liveries for Formula One, they're all ugly. All of the paint jobs and stuff and like cars, they're doing car launches. The Mercedes, it's so ugly. Like the tail of it. It's ugly. Alpine, which is not how you pronounce that word, British people. It's ugly. Aston Martin got launched today. It's ugly. these are just all of my takes on that. Also, Tom Brady was like in the Aston Martin launch. And so I'm sorry, Sebastian Vettel. We cannot support that team then. Also, I want the Strolls dead. So I also can't support that team. I don't know. That's like Mallory's Cars Corner. Except for I did watch Formula E, like, last weekend. This has really devolved quickly. That's what I was, like, saying about, like, literally when I, like, sat down to watch Formula E, which is, like, electric zoom zoom cars. I was like, this life really comes at you fast. You said nobody watches any other sports, and I was like, here's the only sport I've been watching. And then there was, like, a very big scary crash, and some car went flying upside down.
In Formula E, is it, like, what car manufacturers?
I mean, like, they have, like, the same, like, Mercedes won both races, I think. And, I mean, they just have, like, the normal ones, but they're just, like, completely electric engines, and they sound really weird when they drive. They kind of sound like mice squeaking.
Oh. I thought they'd sound like spaceships. I like those cars. I mean,
they could sound like spaceships. Yeah. If your spaceship sounds like a mouse.
I didn't even know they had Formula E.
Well, neither do I. Know. And now I'm here. I don't know. I don't feel like anything is, like, real. I feel like I'm just, like, floating in space and, like, things are happening to me as opposed to...
I'm having, like, the exact same feeling this week. Like, I feel like the last 7 days I've just kind of, like, been sleepwalking through. Like, I literally couldn't tell you what I did over the last 7 days. So, things are going well.
Things are going great.
These really are the days of our lives.
You don't need that show. It was just a dumb soap opera.
Moving on to soap operas, because there are many soap operas this week, as usual. Jamie Benn, who has a history of being a trashy, shitty person, as we've discussed on this show before, was exposed for being a Candace Owens stan and liking her latest super transphobic Instagram post, in which she says, biological men shouldn't be able to compete in women's sports. This isn't controversial. There's a whole video that goes with it. I have no idea what she said because I don't care to listen to anything she has to say. But Jamie Benn liked this Instagram post and then was quite promptly exposed on Twitter for liking it.
This is why we need to bring back the activity page on Instagram, so we can do this more often. Too many things are probably going unnoticed. Okay, so basically, like, the thing is, there's been a whole resurgence of, I don't know, moral panic, I guess, over, like, there was the whole trans people and, like, bathrooms cases or whatever, and they kind of... It's not that they've switched it over, because this was always, like, a relevant thing, but they had started talking about trans people in sports, specifically trans women in sports, because they don't really actually talk about trans men in sports. And under, like, the guise of, like, protecting women and things of that nature, which, first of all, you're not protecting women, because you're not protecting women's right to participate in sports. And also, it is just 100% a veiled, just transphobic thing to do. Like, not even veiled, really. It's just you making things up to be transphobic. I don't even know. And, like, obviously, it's a very easy, like, talking point in general for conservatives. I don't even know, but it's just fucking dumb. You know, like, in it also is, like, deeply offensive. Not only is it, like, transphobic, but also, like, the guidelines of what it takes to participate in a sport as a trans person. You can't just, like, check a box or whatever. It's, like, there are, it's not as if people are doing this for just, like, an inherent advantage or something. And the idea that there is an inherent advantage of being biologically born a man is incredibly rude and incredibly incorrect. And also, biological sex is not something that is binary. Like, as we've talked about before, there obviously are, like, different variations on, like, hormones and stuff and just general advantages that people who are assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth, like, may have, and just various differences. It's just not like a binary thing at all.
If people haven't listened to the episode we did a while ago about Castro Semenya, you should go back and listen, because Georgia lays out very articulately kind of the issues with that kind, with that train of thought, which is embedded in the idea that men are inherently physically and athletically superior to women. So you should go back and listen to it. Maggie Mertens, who is a writer who specializes on these topics, had a really, really good thread, and we'll retweet it, where she links to a bunch of stories about the anti-trans bills across the US and why that fight has kind of centered on athletics. And it's a really interesting and informative thread.
Also, it's just like pure bullshit about how they don't care about women's sports in any situation other than when they can use it for their own political gain. Like, it is not as if they are watching women's sports in any valuable, like, way and advocating for them and advocating for women's sports in general, other than when they can just come up with, I don't know, just shitty bigoted stuff to talk about instead.
But yeah, aside from the substantive discussion around trans misogyny, shout out again to Danny at Earthline Menace for yet another rip-roaring takedown of Jamie Benn being a shitty human. She has graciously agreed to let us use her voice note. And so I'm just going to include it here for posterity, and because everyone should know that Jamie Benn did in fact create a whole new fake personality of being socially aware solely for the period that he was dating Katie Holdridge.
I hope you fall down the stairs and break every bone in your motherfucking body. You are stupid. You are a waste of space. You are a pathetic excuse for a leader. You fake being woke for some pussy that you cheated on, that you lost, that you weren't even in the league for anyway. You stupid, dumb bitch. You are literally the epitome of mediocrity.
I feel like that's, like, totally something that is, has become, like, a new fad. And, like, I definitely saw something on Twitter of people talking about how conservative dudes will say that they're not political when they really just mean that they realized being political won't get them laid. Dump your homophobic boyfriend.
And yet another way for the NHL to continue being a tire fire and to demonstrate that hockey is in fact not for everyone. The Montreal Canadiens announced yesterday that they had fired their director of goaltending following a win. And apparently without consulting Carey Price. But the best part was the person that they have now hired to be the director of goaltending is Sean Burke, who once pushed his wife out of a moving car. And you can Google that. And there's it's been reported on. And, you know, I saw people being like, oh, it happened in 1997, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is I had no idea that happened until someone DM'd me, because you know what? No one ever references it, which leads me to the main point. Can we stop with the redemption stories? Like, any hockey media who's listening to this, you really don't have to give a platform to Tony DeAngelo. You don't have to give a platform to Mike Babcock. You don't have to give a platform to Mitchell Miller. You don't have to give a platform to Theo Fleury. Like, none of these people actually deserve redemption stories, and it's actually incredibly gross.
It's incredibly hurtful and also boring and a waste of your time I guess it's not a waste of your time because there is just like a formula for your redemption article, and it always says the exact same thing, and it's always just a huge crock of bullshit. So it's just disrespectful to every single person who has working brain cells, who has empathy, who also has like reading comprehension and can read about how the person has clearly not changed and how they're just using these buzzwords that their publicist told them might work. It's a bunch of crap. And other than the like, obviously the New York Post has never been thought of as the peak of journalism, but other than that bullshit, in that article, it has actually been nice that, I mean, it is because he's not good. Like, this is the same thing with, what's his face? Who's in Russia? That motherfucker? Yes. It's also because he's not good. But they have lost, like, their actual livelihood and, like, they aren't able to play anymore. And it's not because of their bad opinions or, like, offensive statements. It's because they suck at their job. And it is very clear that as long as you're good at your job, I think that, what was it, Patrick Kane's, he hit some milestone recently.
400 goals.
Yeah, he hit 400 goals. He's still a piece of shit. No one apparently cares because he's good. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this, but Tony D'Angelo can't get a job because he's bad. But if he was good, that would not stop anyone.
And that's legitimately what happened, right? Like, he was a good defenseman last year. He's been not good this year. And it was that combination plus getting into an altercation with a teammate that actually ended up costing him his job. Not, like, the Rangers didn't give a shit about anything else he did. And that could not have been more clear. But one point that people always say is like, well, you know, like, can't people rehabilitate? Isn't there like, don't people deserve second chances? Well, second chances are frankly earned. And my issue with a lot of the redemption pieces that have been coming out in the last little bit is that they don't adequately deal with what happened at the time. And they don't point out any inconsistencies between what the person is now saying to quote unquote apologize or versus what they said when the thing happened. Like, for example, the Mitchell Miller story, they interviewed his parents and they were like, oh, we were so shocked and blah, blah, blah. And he's learned. But if you go back to when the news originally came out and things his sister tweeted, and then even further back to the contemporaneous police reports, what they were telling the reporter in Arizona, whose name I can't remember, now in this piece that was requested by his agents and his PR company, are totally inconsistent with what they actually said and what was recorded by the police at the time. And to not point that out when you're offering someone a platform to try to rehab their image is, I think, a failure of sports media that happens consistently. And even people who I think are good at their jobs just don't do a very good job of it. Like, the fact that there are still executives and players in this league who get jobs, get promotions, and media never references anything controversial that they did is how they keep getting these positions and jobs. And it's part of why this league is so insular, and you just keep seeing the same people hired over and over again. And as long as you continue to do that, and as long as hockey media continues to protect its access and to act as a mouthpiece rather than as journalists, just going to keep going that way. And it sucks. And it's shitty for fans, especially new fans. And it's harmful to the game. The NHL sent out a press release or a statement, whatever, titled #StopAsianHate. It's a 3-sentence statement which says, the recent surge in violence against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders is senseless and reprehensible. the National Hockey League stands with the AAPI community and condemns all acts of violence, bullying, and discrimination. We ask you to join us in demanding that everyone be treated with dignity and respect. And they tweeted this with the hashtag #StopAsianHate. And then they turned off the replies.
Which is like the funniest part of the entire thing.
Like, I actually can't decide if it would have been worse for them to say nothing or better.
I really don't know. I think that it might have almost been better for them to just... Because this is like a level of phoning it in, but not even. Like, they didn't even try.
Vanessa, I think you referred to it as hashtag activism.
Yes, they're consistently involved in this and they don't do shit with it. It's just a hashtag. I mean, like, I'm all for stopping Asian hate, obviously. But, like, the fact that, like, I don't think there was anything that involved hockey, like, anything that made them want to do this. So I'm not really sure why they felt the need to, because I feel like it just kind of elevated it to, like, I don't know, made it even worse. Or, like, it made it a joke, you know? Like, this...
It's an entirely useless statement. Like, it doesn't refer to anything specific to the league. The last sentence, we ask you to join us in demanding that everyone be treated with dignity and respect. Like, you're literally the league. Like, who are you demanding this of? Of, like, your players, your coaches, your...
Well, and where is the demand?
Yeah.
So, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I can't believe they turned off the replies. I think that's like most of the quote tweets are like, you turned off the replies because your fan base is so shitty.
I tweeted, if you really cared, you would turn them on and then fight against them.
But yeah, it looks like the NHL did a whole ton of listening and learning over the last year and really learned a lot. They learned about as much as we all expected them to. I just like, I don't understand what their equity and diversity initiatives do.
I would love to know as well. What they actually they do is sell $700 Lunar New Year jerseys.
Oh my God.
They said, hey, we did actually capitalize on the Asian community, so maybe we should say, like, what was it, like three sentences?
Yeah. On to some lighter soap opera topics. Can we talk about the NHL pandemic baby boom? Because
not nicely. I can't talk about it nicely.
I don't want you to talk about it nicely. So earlier this week, we found out that congratulations are due to Travis Konecny and his girlfriend Carly, because they're having a child, despite the fact that they are also children.
That's obviously... Continue all you can continue.
I don't know what to say.
Okay, obviously, like, you are in a different economic situation than I am, these people. Why are you having a baby at 23? Who does that?
It gives me anxiety.
Who does that? And also, the thing is that, like, sucks in general is that, like, hockey players are, like, they're rich, but they're not, like, the rich, rich levels where you're not going to have to raise that kid. Like, when Gigi Hadid, like, got pregnant, I was like, okay, girl, like, IUDs exist, like, what are you doing? But also, I was like, I guess that's, like, fair that, like, you could probably still, like, gallivant off to, like, these fashion weeks and not really have to raise this child. But Carly's gonna be stuck raising this kid while... Sorry, I was gonna say something for like me, and then I took it. Anyway, she's gonna be raising this kid, and Travis Konecny is gonna be off...
On road trips.
Around. He's going to be around. And then also same thing with Dylan Strome's baby. That's really fucked up. I did unfortunately lose to the fantasy team that my friend Claire has, which is Dylan Strome's fetus. Who else is expected?
I was actually just thinking that. There's definitely someone else, right?
I mean, the thing is that Ryan Giroux is going to have another baby, but that's fine. It makes sense. Because at least, oh, I mean, I don't know how old she is. I think she's in her late 20s, but Claude is like 32, right? Or something?
Yeah.
I'm not like policing when you should have children, but I also am policing it and saying go do other things. I understand you can't travel right now, but, like, actually, you guys haven't been paying attention to that anyway, so you can. And, like, the people that, like, obviously some people were making jokes about, like, oh, you don't have, like, that Evander Kane money, like, you're not prepared to take care of that. And it's like, yeah, it might have not been a mistake, but you know what is having is a mistake? Having a baby at 23, even if it was planned. What are you doing? And obviously, like, Bo Horvat is also very young. And, like, when he got married and had a kid, like, I was like, okay, what the fuck? But
he's, like, a 30-year-old. He's...
He, like, has, like, he has old man vibes.
He yeah. does have old man vibes.
He's, like, older than Sam.
Like we said, the hashtag is not effective.
Okay. You're talking about the possibility of the incredibly, like, inhospitable environment to raise a child, which is the McDavid Kyle 1 home. anyway, my friend said a gender reveal party for the McDavid Kyle 1 baby would be black balloons that they pop inside as either chips of ice for hockey player boy or grayscale paint swatches girl. Anyway.
They let their dog, like, mat the hell out of its hair. So they had to shave it down.
Winnie?
Yep.
Poor baby.
And he looked so bad.
I think you should bring back the dog bracket, top dog bracket. But, like, I
everyone was incorrect, so I don't think that you should, because I don't think democracy works.
But I also don't think I should limit it to Canucks, because I think Canucks Twitter is just stupid. And what I should do is just, they like, are. A league-wide hockey dog contest. Yeah,
I think that's good.
And I think that would maybe have a better result. And I should just rig it so that butter wins.
There's some other dogs that... Oh, obviously Phoebe. Sorry, I forgot about Phoebe. I miss her.
Tyson Berry's dog is really cute, too.
Ralph is really cute. Name five players, except this week it's name three players, because there's only three of us. This week's name five players... Name five players who are also probably Candace Owens stands.
This is not a probably. This is the Jones children, thanks to Mrs. Amy. Jones, whatever her... Amy, is that her name? Who also was just posting for some reason, trying to get her child traded out of Edmonton. I don't even fucking know. I mean, I definitely don't know about Caleb. I do know Seth Jones has a habit of acting up on the internet as well, but not like his name-searching mom, who was really pumped about the Texas mask mandate ending. So, yeah, I'm sure that, like, their family dinners are 100% soundtracked by, like, Ben Shapiro's podcast.
Vanessa.
Max Domi.
Oh, yeah, that's another
guy. These aren't even probably. These are just facts.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we limit ourselves to only three? Like, I could literally just pick anyone on the Columbus Blue Jackets at this point.
That's true.
I'm going to go with Thatcher Demko. Thatcher Demko is clearly a Candace Owens stan for the sole fact that his girlfriend is. So just going to...
I mean, he at least, like, funded, like, the purchasing of that book. So that counts at least...
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I basically, the thing is that also with the Jamie Benn thing, like, going back to that, is people kind of, whenever, like, some, like, player does something shitty, people are like, oh, support this player instead. I'm like, no. Just start with the baseline that all of them are horrible, or at least borderline misogynistic, borderline racist, just low-key bigots. And then you can just move up with evidence if you find to the contrary. Then you're never disappointed. It's fine.
It's the same way you should approach being a Canucks fan. Expect the worst. And then they can't disappoint you.
They can't disappoint you. It's fine.
It's really just about
the only way, like, I could, like, probably be disappointed at this point is if, like, my, like, favorite player, like, legitimately came out as, like, a full-ass white supremacist or something, you know? That would be a situation where I'd be like, didn't really emotionally prepare myself for that one.
Okay, before we sign off, special shout-out to this week's 31 Thoughts, which is going to be the godfather of TK's child, Nolan Patrick.
Honestly, my girlfriend, I miss her. We did have to break up because people were being weird online, and I was like, unfortunately, I will have to revoke her honorary lesbian status, but it's fine. But there was a long while I was like, Nolan Patrick is my girlfriend. And they were like, Nolan Patrick is a straight man. And I'm like, he has dyke sensibilities, okay? Anyway.
Okay. This is like two straight weeks of pure chaos. Like,
honestly, it's because I have that Pfizer vaccine just going through my bloodstream.
I just don't even
know. Brain empty, no thoughts.
That's me every day. Like, every day. This is what happens when Georgia isn't here to keep us on track.
It's literally not true because last week was Georgia and I just on one. So, I don't know what's
ever controlled chaos. This was controlled chaos.
This was controlled chaos. Okay, so interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at BroadcastPod or email us at BroadcastPod@gmail.com. We may or may not check our emails. Yeah. But we love chatting with you guys. We want to hear your feedback on what you liked, didn't like, what else you want to hear us talk about, whether we should watch the Canucks play or not.
Are you Sens fans?
I feel like it would still be more fun to be a Senators fan than a Canucks fan.
Because the Senators seem to be having fun because they're expected to be bad.
Yeah. And they seem to, like, mostly like each other. Like, they, I don't know. Sens Twitter seems like a fun place.
Or maybe just the people I follow are funny.
Yeah.
But
maybe we should become Sens fans. I'd be open to that. But yeah. Also, join us on Monday, March the 8th, for the Canucks to be destroyed by Tyler Toffoli. You can watch us react live to that. And
we have guests.
Yes, we have many guests lined up. And I think Georgia's going to post the schedule for who's going to be on when, but we have some really great guests lined up, all women. And we are super excited. So join our live stream. And yeah, you can find us on Twitter. I am at SamanthaCP_.
I'm at Sports Lesbian.
And I'm at Vanessa Jang.
And
yeah. We're very sleepy, so we're gonna leave now.
We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.